You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Good morning, church. I just want to spend a little bit of... Yeah, I still feel the Holy Spirit wants to speak to some people this morning. And I just want to encourage you to take another 2 minutes in awe of God. Because He's here this morning. And when you leave, He'll be with you still. But just take a minute to tell God with your own words. What do you need this morning? Is it faith? Is it... healing? Is it a miracle? Is that restoration? But just take a minute to dwell in the presence of your Father, because He loves to hear. Bible says that we were made according God's image. Thank you very much. And when I think that God, so if God made us according His image, so when I look to the image, I see myself with 2 ears and 1 mouth, right? So if that is somehow the image of God, I think somehow what God was trying to tell us, that He likes to hear more than He likes to speak. But we were taught that we don't talk to God. It took around 35 minutes, 30, 40 minutes to come from Hereford to Ross this morning. And my children probably spoke from the whole journey over here for 30, 40 minutes. Dad! And then Thiago said, no, but it's my turn. And then they were taking turns on, and I was talking to Paula. Paula said, "Because it's constantly talking." But I think that is the truth. That the Father, he loves to hear what we want to say. And the Bible even says Psalms 39 that he hears even though when we cannot say, even when the words doesn't come to our mouth yet, He already heard. So He knows what we would love to say, but maybe you don't have courage, maybe you don't have strength or the words for that. But your Father likes to hear. I don't know, in Brazilian culture, at the table, I remember one day we were eating together. We were having a meeting after the service in Hereford, and we only had a few minutes to eat with the kids. So we brought something from the supermarket. We sat at the table and we're eating. A lady came and said, JP, you need to talk to your children that they cannot eat, cannot talk when they are at the table eating with you. It's disrespectful. So you need to be in silence when you're eating and then you talk. And I said, I understand, but this is not Brazilian at all. Because, there are different backgrounds. I'm not saying one is right, one is wrong. Please don't. But I'm just saying that it is the privilege of the table, which is when we can talk to each other, we can discover how the day went and everything else. So please, talk more to your father. Talk more to your father. He loves to hear you speaking to him. It's a privilege to be here this morning. It's good to see some new faces as well. So my name is João Paulo, but everyone calls me JP. Married to Paula. We have Elena and Thiago. Elena is turning 7 next week. Can you believe it? Yeah. So I am getting younger each day more and more. Thiago is turning 4 next year as well. So yeah, so life moves on. And we have a privilege to be, to have our history, especially the history of our children in this church. So when we first came from Brazil, we had the privilege of living in Ross and spending our first years related to this church over here. And this is a place we call home. So it's always good to be back, to be here, to be in person. And I want to talk a little bit about faith. This morning, as CLC in Ross is learning and studying more about faith. And it's interesting because when you talk about faith, I've been understanding that I don't like faith. I'm sorry if it's too traumatic, but I've been understanding that I don't like neither faith and I don't like miracles. Because for you to like faith and to like miracles, it means that you need faith and you need miracles. And therefore, I don't like to be in a position where I need to come to God and say, God, this is impossible. Can you do something, please? Because that's not comfortable. And we keep saying, oh, that man is a man of faith. That man is living miracles every single day. So that means that that person is facing realities every single day of the impossible in front of him. And this is something that is so discomfortable. Because I love this story. If you've probably read the book of Acts, there's a story over there that is traumatic to me, which is Paul going to Rome. At the end of the book of Acts, it tells a story about Paul that God, and Paul he knew that he had to go to Rome. So he gets into a ship, a boat, and then he says, on the beginning of the story, beginning of the journey, he says, guys, be prepared. This journey is going to be completely chaos. I'm feeling sorry for ourselves, for the people, for the crew, and for the ship, because I think, but then he's saying, but don't worry, because later on, when the storm starts, and everything that he was feeling on his spirit comes to be true, he says, don't worry. An angel appeared to me in dream the night, the Lord has spoken to me, that it is going to be chaotic. The ship won't get there. It's going to be destroyed. But no one will be lost. And he's moved by this promise. He says that because God has said that I need to attend into Caesar, I need to go to Rome, none of us will die. So even if we need to grab a piece of wood from the ship and hold it like we were on Titanic, but I don't know. But just hold. If you're sinking, don't worry. Hold a piece of wood from the ship, because you're gonna get there with me. Because why? Because God said we will. And it's traumatic. And he gets to an island. And this island, there's someone over there that then takes him to Rome. So it is faith is something really challenging for us, because it is not based on our feelings, on what we believe. Bible says that the righteous one will live by what? By faith. And faith so many times is related to what we believe, that faith is this expectation of our feelings, is this expectation of someone that is full of faith is usually that person we look at him and he's saying, oh, But don't worry, I feel today is going to be a great day. Why? Because you have this feeling or because you have a knowledge of God. Faith is not, doesn't come by good wishing. Faith comes by the Word of God. Faith comes by knowing what God has said. That's why Paul is so clear to say, don't worry. I can imagine if I was on a sinking boat, I was probably like, ah, where's the... I would become crazy. Normally, that would be my reaction. But Paul, he comes and says, don't worry, because God said, I need to go to Rome. All of you are safe. We're going to get to Rome. We're going to arrive in an island here somewhere, I don't know, but God will. And this is faith. So if we need to increase our faith, we need to increase not our feeling, but we need to increase what? Our knowledge of God. Because then we know when he said something and when he didn't say something. And today I want to talk a little bit about Hebrews 11, and especially about Abraham. Because I want to give some good news. If your family is not the most perfect ideal family, there's still hope. Because I'm going to tell you something. If there's a family who was a challenge, it's Abraham's family. Chaotic. I think the best way to describe Abraham's family and himself is pure chaos. Because it is. It is when we... So here in Hebrews chapter 11. But first, before we go there, I love how chapter 11, because chapter 11, as we're learning together over here, is talking about faith. But I love how the chapter 10, the previous one, before it starts talking about faith, talks about, first of all, perseverance. And then it says, the righteous one will live by faith. And it's talking about perseverance. And it's talking about for you to live by faith, you're going to have to first endure hardship. You're going to have to be first living by faith. And it finishes the chapter 10 saying this. Verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and he will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. So he's starting. Before he's talking about faith, he's talking, okay, for you to live by faith, for you to live according to the faith that I'm giving you, first of all, you're going to have to persevere. You're going to have to endure. And then he talks about faith. And he starts saying, and I love this because he says this. So now by faith. So faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So many times I've seen myself talking about faith. I've been praying God, asking him to change my mind. Because before we go to this, I've been understanding that thinking is more spiritual than praying. Because Bible says that unless I am renewed on my way of thinking, I will never be able to taste and live the good, pleasant, and perfect will of God. So for me to live the will of God for my life, it does not say that I will have to pray more. It says that I will have to be renewed on my way of thinking. Because by being renewed on my way of thinking, I will be able then to pray according how I should pray. So many times, I go to pray for my kids, for example. And I see myself praying for my kids, almost introducing them back to God like God doesn't know them. If you have kids, if you're married, or if you have challenges on your work, have you been in a situation? Sometimes I feel that my prayer for my children is, God, you don't know Elena. So let me introduce Elena to you. Elena needs you. And I think that God is over there in heaven. Really? She's my daughter. I made her. But sometimes I feel that my prayers is, God, look at my daughter. She needs to be saved. So I've been understanding that my prayers and my faith needs to change. So I've been praying and understand that I need to pray each day more and more so that I know that God knows what he has for me. I'll say again because maybe my English is not good enough for that sentence. So I've been praying each day more and more until I come to know that God already knows what He has for my family. Because I think it's this where we're lacking. So many times we are struggling so much because we are praying and praying and praying. So about healing, when I go to pray for someone for healing, so many times we are praying believing that God, I need to convince you how healing is important. Look at this person, please pray for it. I'm praying for this person, heal, heal, heal. And it's almost like, so I'm praying until I understand that God can heal. I need to know. I am the one who is lacking knowledge. God knows He can heal. It's the church, it's me and you that so many times struggle on knowing how perfect God is. He has said that He will do and He will do. He may not heal everyone I'm praying for, but not because He can't. That's why doubting, having doubts is not a sin. But doubting is. You know why? So, can you have a stand, please? Yeah. Yeah, just this one. So, if I go fighting with this guy over here, your name?
Yuan.
Yuan. So, raise your hand if you believe I will win. You're too kind. You're too kind. You're too kind. I can have all the faith, but look at his arm, look at mine. So I can have all the faith in my life, but it's still what I'm looking over here. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So my knowledge, my experience itself is pointing out to something out of the way. But if I understand that God has said something, I need to be praying a God. I need to believe in a God, not what I can see. I need to believe in and never applying everything in my life according to what I know God has said. So many times in the Bible, that's why we're struggling. That's why we're losing our faith. That's why we're losing. Because God has said something. Go and fight with that, with Goliath. You're not Goliath, don't worry. But there is something we're losing in our heart is this understanding that God has said something. And I need to be moved. I need to be woke in a God, what God has said about us. And Abraham is an example of that. Because Abraham, my friend, I'm not going to read. If you read the beginning of the story of Abraham, it starts pretty much previous to the chapter 15. It starts on the chapter 12, 13. And it talks about Abraham. And it's beautiful because the beginning of the story of Abraham, God always introduced Himself to him saying, I am. Every promise in the beginning of the story of Abraham with God, he started by saying, I am the Lord. I am your shield. I am the God Almighty. And then he starts replying and saying more about it. But he starts with God saying to Abraham, the beginning of everything, it is the fact that I am something. Do not be afraid, I am your shield. And then he starts saying and starts giving the promises and he starts speaking out. But him, like us, we can be a complete disaster, completely lost on this. And let's see over here first what it says about Abraham. So chapter 11 of Hebrews, from the verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him on the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him to become a father because he considered him faithful who made the promise. So once again, he's talking about the faithful one is the one who spoke to him. And so from this one man, as good as that, came descendant as numerous order of the stars in the sky, and as countless on the sand on the seashore. Let me just stop here for a second. Abraham, let's talk about this guy. He's known as the father of faith, father of all the descendants on earth. Bible says that, and it's beautiful because, and he's so into it, because Bible says when the chapter 12, I think, or something like that, when God gives him his promise, he says, Abraham, I am going to make you so blessed. Look, north, south, east, and west. Everything you see will be yours. Everything you are able to see will be yours. He understands that so much that the following verse says what? I love that because so many times we take granted on this. But he says that after receiving this promise, Abraham moved to Hebron, which is an hour of mountains. The following verse is that because Abraham said, wait, pay attention. God said that whatever I see will be mine. I'm not going to be silly. I'm going to look further. Then he moves to a place where it's higher. So he can what? See more. God is telling him that whatever he sees will be his. So he understands that so fully that he says, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to move. Because pretty much, whatever you see will be yours. Okay, I'm seeing this. Now, he placed himself in a different place because he understood God said something. God said that whatever I'll see will be mine. So he receives a promise from God. But he's a terrible example of someone who maintains himself on this promise. And I love this because when we are talking about Abraham over here, we are talking about someone who was the result of not his story. Abraham was the result of God's promises over his life. Me and you, we are not, we won't live the result, the outcome of how bad our stories were. Because Abraham was someone that God comes to him and says, Abraham, you're going to be blessed, and from you, all the nations of the earth, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then he says, God, but you never gave me a child. And I said, don't worry, you're going to have a child. And then over there, they were trying. Baby didn't work. Suddenly, his wife, Sarah, comes to him and says, the Lord didn't allow us to have a child. Let's do something. That's what she says. She says, she doesn't come to Abraham and say, I think we heard wrong. I think maybe let's help God. No, she comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, God has kept us from having this child. Let's do something now. My friend, this is so powerful. This is so intelligent. Because we keep believing that greatest temptations we have is through something physical, with something that appears in front of you, you find in 1 million pounds or someone you fancy or whatever. And we keep believing that it is the greatest temptation that God, the devil can use against us. Let me tell you something. The greatest temptation that God, the devil can use against us is to make us believe that God didn't say something he said. When Jesus was baptized, what did God say about him? This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Straight away after, so remember this, God said that this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Then he's taken to the desert to be tempted. And what does devil comes to challenge him with? Beautiful woman. Lot of money. He offers some of those things. But let me tell you something. What does he tempt? He gets the word of God without the spirit. And he comes. Do you really believe God said this? If God said this, because he's saying, if you are the child of God, if God said something, do this. If you are the child of God, and all the time he's using this word, multiply. Turn the bread turn the stone into bread. Do something. Throw yourself from the highest place. He said his angels will pick you up. Come on, if you are the child of God, like he said, do something. And so many often in our life, we are trying to walk according, forgetting what God has said. And Abraham came to this point where he says, his wife comes to him and says, God stopped us, not allowing us to do this. God said something that he himself is not allowing to happen in our life. God is playing with us. Let's do something. So she invites someone who was working for him. Abraham sleeps with him. Ishmael, how do you say Ishmael in English? Yeah, thank you very much. He's born, completely mess. My friend, if you see the story, when you see Lot, Bible says there's children over here, don't I? But the story after that is chaotic. It's pure chaos. And suddenly, that's my Tiago. But suddenly, God appears to him again and he says, I am faithful to what I said. I'm faithful to what I said. But God, the age has gone. And for me, my friend, for him to be over here in this chapter of Hebrews as an example of faith, it shows to us that I don't know what we have been going through. We need to know what God has said. And then he says, because he says over here, Abraham considered faithful the one who said. He's not over here registering this book as an example of faith because he believed all the time. We keep believing that example of faith is someone who keeps believing all the time. He's not here because of that. He's here because he understood that despite all his mistakes, there was someone who was faithful to what he has spoken. I remember when God told me that I was going to come to England, I was 16 years old. And for so many times, Hereford is not a big city. There's not many Ross, even smaller. And I'm not from it's a quite big city, but it's not internationally known. So it's pretty much, I remember I was 16, I came to England with my church in Brazil. I came back to my family saying, God will take me to England one day. Why? Because God said. God said. How? God said. When? God said. And that's the only thing I knew. For so many times I thought I lost it because I was always moved. I gave this testimony already that when I met Paula, we were dating, and our first Christmas together was, you probably know the story, of the present, Christmas present. Maybe not everyone knows, but our first Christmas together, Christmas in Brazil is summer, 35, 40 degrees. We do barbecue by the swimming pool instead of opening presents by the fireplace because it's hot. And I remember she opened the present and there was, she took a huge scarf from winter. 40 degrees, a scarf of winter, who does that? And a travel guide book throughout the UK. And I wrote over there, look, God said that one day he will take me and my family to England, to live in England. And I believe on this. And so this is the, so I had to, I could not get married without her knowing what she was joining in. So she would never come to me and say, look where you brought us. Do something. So I had to, she had to be part of it. So I gave her travel guide book. Because pretty much if she said, no, that's not what I want. Okay, God bless you. You won't find someone as handsome as me, but that's life. I'm kidding. But I could not move on if I knew that God said something. If God said, my friend, keep going. And then I remember, but of course you can be intelligent at the same time. So on the book I wrote, so this is all the cities I want to take you to visit the castles, to visit the beautiful places, everything else. And the scarf is, because if you're preaching on summer, you're going to be stunning on winter. It worked. We got married 15 years ago. Good. But, my friend, it's just one simple example. And I remember when we, because there's nothing that requires more faith than a husband having to reply his wife's questions. The husbands don't want to laugh because they're in trouble if they laugh. But my wife, she makes so many questions that I have no idea the answer. When my documents from my visa will be back, I have no idea. Should be in 6 months, has been already 8 months, and the government already did mistake twice with our documents, that I had to go there to fix it. And we would love to go to Brazil. And that is delaying each time more and more, us being able to plan to go to Brazil. It's been nearly 2 years since the last time we went. We want to see family. There's some people over there we don't know if we're going to see again, because they're getting old and everything else. We would love. And Paula, she comes to me, says, when are we going to go to Brazil? And the only thing that I can answer is, God knows. Because I don't know anything else. But that doesn't mean that I cannot doubt that God knows. Because He knows. And that's why the doubting part, I didn't finish that part, sorry. That's why having doubts is not a sin, but doubting it is. Because when I'm having doubts, it means only that I'm facing someone that is much bigger than me, much taller, much stronger. A first reaction when I am facing this guy that is bigger than me is what? Fear. It's doubting, doubt, of course. Jesus coming you to walk on the water. First thing, but when I'm doubting, when I'm allowing to say it is impossible, I'm not talking about my reality, my limitation. When I'm saying it's impossible, I am saying that God, you are not good enough to make this happen. So that's why doubting, it's a sin. When you see your children, when I see my children coming from school, with all the things that they are being fed in school, and I'm looking, oh my goodness, should I do homeschool? No, the answer is no. For me, okay? But then when I'm over there thinking where this road is going, I have so many doubts straight away. When I think, where I'm going to live in 5 years' time, where I'm going to be doing, what about my retirement? What about what happened to me when I am 60 years old, 78 years old? I have so many things that come to my mind. Where I want to support myself? Who looks after me? If I die, who will support my family? There's so many things that comes to my mind all the time. But if I allow them to become me doubting of God, then I'm saying, God, you are not good enough to look after my family. There's so many things that I'm putting in place to be able to look after them well. But every time when I'm doubting, and that's why Abraham says, it's not because of how bad or how good or maintaining or walking with him that made him to be over here. He was over here because he considered himself who made the promise faithful. Faith is knowing that the one who said he will do, he will do. And this is not by feeling, this is by knowing. Faith doesn't come by wishing, it comes by hearing the word of God, by knowing him. And then he finishes on the verse 17 and 18 until 19. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his own and only son, even though God has said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And this is incredible because, my friend, even though when you believe that God says something and he changes, my God does not change his mind. And he doesn't take back his promises. Maybe we're going to live a different chapter of his story. Maybe a different season. But God does not take back his promises. And I remember when we were finally coming to England. You probably know that our passports were stolen on the airport. Can you imagine? We moved to England when I was 32. So 16 years of God saying, you will move to Hereford. And people ask me, when? 16 years of answering, I don't know. Until we came to the point where we said goodbye to our family at the airport. We got the first flight. 30 minutes later, our passports were stolen. We were still in Brazil. And I remember Paula. I will never forget that. Because I remember Paula on the floor of the airport. Anyone looking at her, you would believe that she was dead. Because can you imagine? Just the process of conversation with the church here and all the visa process, it took nearly 3 years. Just the process of bureaucracy and everything else to come through. We started talking, it was 2014. We moved 2017, so 2 years. And suddenly we are there. I'm asking them to take back our luggage, canceling. And I remember us walking all around the airport to see if someone threw away on the bin. I remember going in on the bin. I still remember the smell of the bin. Because literally, I was just trying to find this passport so we could. And we didn't fly. And I remember God. And I remember that day, I asked God. Because I never doubted until this day. Because I always remember that God has said, on this day, I came to God and said, God, did I hear wrong? And on this day, I asked, God, did I hear wrong? Did I invest 16 years of my life believing you said something that you didn't do? Is it for us not to go? And on that day, I doubted. But God knew the honesty of my heart. And then God said to me, no, you didn't hear wrong. You will go. But you love so much what I said that you turned what I said into yours. And I need to teach you that I will take you according to my faithfulness and not according to yours. It's not your child. It's not your project. It's not yours. What you're going to go to do in England, it's not your project. Has never been. And you love so much the calling that I gave you, the dream that I gave you, that you turn this baby into yours. And this baby is not yours, it's mine. It's to fulfill my purpose. That's why I can give you Isaac and I can take away Isaac without a problem. Because it's not to fulfill your dream. It's my dream that you're going for. And on that day, God killed something. God killed my Isaac. And it was painful. But then he brought back an Isaac alive that was his child. And we came. And we stayed in Brazil for another 40 days, exactly. 40 days of desert. And I remember on these days, I didn't want to see on the first few days, I didn't want to see anyone. I locked myself in the house because I had to explain to people what happened. And I had to hear my pastor saying, do you really believe that God wants to take you? And that was painful. But God is faithful to what he has said. My friend, maybe you this morning, you don't feel like God maybe said something too long ago. But he is faithful. I remember, I want to finish by telling two stories because I want to pray. And I'll take liberty to you. One day, Gavin and Zoe, I'm not going to say what, don't worry. One day, Gavin and Zoe came to our home, and we were talking about something that they were going through. And I remember something that I learned that we share with them. Because there was a lot of voices being spoken all around. What are the possibilities this, the possibilities that, this and this and that. And something I learned through this story is if God did not say no, don't take no from no one. If God didn't say no, if God didn't say don't do this, don't go there, and there is someone, even yourself, saying, yes, don't try, it's too big, do not accept this answer. If God says no, don't try a single minute. Don't waste your time. If God says no, stop. But if God didn't say no, don't take no from anyone, including yourself. Because he who made the promise is faithful to fulfill it until the coming of Jesus Christ. Do you know who I see in this chapter over here? I see you guys. I see ourselves. I see a faithful church. I could easily, if Hebrews were written today, Gavin and Zoe would be here. By faith, Gavin and Zoe, this, and this. By faith, Andrew and Caris, this. And we know how often, how many times we have a lot of reasons to not be here. How many times we say, God, I know you love my children, but can I give you some advice? And he says, where were you when I was creating them? Where were you when I was creating the world? I don't need your advice. But this process can be quite painful. Because, for me to finish, I think we keep forgetting that someone died on that day when Abraham was there. Abraham died. I keep thinking that if I had to take my daughter, my son, to sacrifice them, you can be completely sure that I would be dead already for myself. I can't produce something that God called me to do if I'm not dead for myself. So on that moment when God spared and saved the child, there was someone that was not spared. Is that the right word? Verb? Word? Like, yeah, saved. Abraham was not. That man, on that moment, he died. Because his son comes, and can you imagine the scene? Tiago is still there, but you saw this little one over here. Abraham got him, put a robe, a rose around him, put the logs to set him on fire. And then he says, but Dad, where's the lamb? You're only able to do this. And I'm going to tell you something. If you ever try this, if God doesn't kill you, I might do it. So don't do it, okay? There's something that only for this situation, okay? Don't try to repeat. But God wants to finish in our life what he has started. And he will take it to the end. Let's pray about it. Let's pray about it so he can bring back the faith that we have lost. Jesus. I want the Father to introduce ourselves this morning to you once again, not as someone you don't know. You know us. You know us so deeply. You love us so much. Father, we thank you for your goodness in our life. I want to pray for my brothers and sisters this morning, Father, because like me, in so many different times, they can be facing something that they believe will be the end. And it's not true. We're going to go and we're going to arrive where we need to get because of your faithfulness, not because of our capacity or reality. Abraham considered him the one who said the promise faithful. And that's why he believed. He didn't believe because he was capable. He didn't believe because he made everything right. But he believed that the one who made the promise was faithful to go until the end. And if there's anyone this morning lacking this faith, lacking, Father, this knowledge of you, Holy Spirit, just speak to them. Speak to their hearts so they can be brought back on believing that you have said, and because you have said, you will take it until the end. You are not a man to lie, neither to take back your promises. So, Father, just bring back courage, bring back faith, bring back knowledge of you, Father, so we can live the fullness of what you have for us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thanks, JP. Right, so after this, we've got bring and share lunch. If you didn't bring, please do stay. There's plenty. But also, if you wanted to pop to Morrison's and get your own thing, that's also fine. It's a great time of just being able to chat because it's usually quite fast of a Sunday. I'm going to run quickly through the notices. So this week, there's prayer, 9 a.m. at Barbara's house. What day is that? Oh, Monday there. Just testing to see. Advance all sites together on the 12th of October. So that's in Hereford. If you don't know where that is, please grab somebody today and they'll let you know. I'm not going to PowerPoint karaoke the rest. You can read through those. If you've got any questions about getting to certain places or questions about what's going to be there, please talk to Karis or any other leaders. But yeah, great. Thanks so much. Tea and coffee at the end as well. Please stick around and have a chat and have a great week. Yes.
Sorry to get between you and lunch. Please may I tell you a very, very quick story and ask for some prayer. So I have been walking alongside some Iranians, Iranian Christians, for about the last 5 or 6 years. And they have a horrible life. God, foul. And I never asked for prayer, but I really felt I should, just because of what JP said.